Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests include QAnon experts, investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hey, everybody, how are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you so much for your energy exchange with us today. We hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are having the most fortunate day today. As you can see, we have Mr. Sean Morgan here with us, and he's going to be getting us up to speed, really, on what's going on in the Q world, Q corner, if you would, and latest current events. Before we do get there, I do want to thank you all, for really sharing this channel. And if you haven't already, subscribe to it, like, comment, and again, gets everything going around and allows us to notify you, as always, of great guests that we have on, just like Sean today. So thank you very much for that. A little bit about Sean. For those of you who are meeting him for the first time, Sean is expert on all things QAnon, independent journalist and author of QAnon for Beginners. And you can find Sean at QAnonFAQ.com, which we'll have his links here for you, everybody, throughout. So without further ado, buddy, how are you? Good to have you back on.
Doing well. Thank you, guys.
Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's a lot of things you wanted to cover, April. You had some questions, too, that are coming in, right?
Mm-hmm. You want to get started?
Yeah, yeah. Let's roll. Let's go on in. No doubt, like the present. We're recording, right, everybody?
So last time we saw you, Q was silent for a long time. So do you want to kind of give us have there been many Q drops since we saw you last?
No, Q hasn't posted for about a week now.
And is that where we, is that kind of like no news is good news kind of thing right there? Or are we still are on the fence about that one?
Well, what's interesting, guys, is that the mainstream media has been writing and talking about QAnon almost more than any other subject.
Oh my gosh,
this is interesting because we've had the Democratic National Convention and now we're in the middle of the Republican National Convention. We've got riots going on in the country, a big one in Wisconsin right now. And it seems like all people care about is this supposed conspiracy theory of some live action role player in his basement. So the media's obsession with something that they say is baseless and stupid is really interesting, why they would be obsessing over it. And QAnon search term is at all-time highs in Google. So this is what's happening. It's called a Streisand effect, where the more you try to stop people from finding out about something, if you do bad press, the more people get curious to find out more about it. So QAnon is more popular than ever. It's recently found out that there were over 4 million QAnon researchers on Facebook, or these various QAnon groups. And so we're talking about a movement that's worldwide, and it's in the millions, and it's growing more thanks to the mainstream media.
Now, I watched on the news to thank you, mainstream media, but I watched on the news from both Fox and all around, like all the mainstream media news. And it actually had where they had images of the his name doesn't come to me right now, but the chief of staff for the White House and also Donald Trump, where they were point blank asked about what do they think about Q and what do they know about Q. And they pretty much didn't give it any merit at all. They're like, you know, this is, they openly were like, you know,
Not really. Trump said, I heard that they're a bunch of patriots.
He did say that, but as far as like any type of thing there. So what kind of play do you think that was about?
This is a very, very interesting strategy that the White Hats are using. First of all, we'll take a look at some of the characters who are denouncing QAnon. There's actually a resolution in Congress right now from a Democrat and a Republican to condemn QAnon. I mean, this is while like American cities are burning to the ground
and they want to condemn QAnon,
creating resolutions about some supposed baseless conspiracy theory. So
this
is how scared the establishment is of QAnon and what the implications are. But you have people like the former press secretary for George Bush, Ari Fleischer, saying that Republicans need to condemn QAnon and they're just a bunch of weirdos. You've got people like Jeff Flake, who's a Republican who was, you know, proven to be an anti-Trumper. All these never-Trumpers, Jeb Bush is coming out against QAnon. So all the people who are like super like QAnon's horrible, QAnon's bad, happen to be you know, deep state swamp creatures. And then the ones who are like being more finesse about it, like, for example, the president was asked about QAnon. He said, I don't know anything about them, except for apparently they like me. And, you know, they love our country and, you know, things like that. So they're just saying, acting like playing ignorance, which in reality, you know, according to the QAnon narrative, Donald Trump is actually a part of Q team. You know, he is Q plus, and he has actually posted or given the direction to post specific messages on, you know, through QAnon. So, you know, we believe in the QAnon community that Donald Trump is playing ignorant as a strategy, because what the deep state is going to try to do is pin a false flag attack on a QAnon supporter. We're already seeing fake protests of these people who have like the QAnon slogan, like where we go one, we go all. But then they also have other signs that say abolish ICE, when which ICE is like, that's something that a QAnon supporter would never say, because we believe, you know, in the QAnon community that you have to have strong immigration policies to stop human trafficking. Mm-hmm. So these social justice warriors are posing as QAnon supporters with these fake protests. And, you know, that's what the deep state tries to do time and time again, is these fake false flag attacks, try to make QAnon look bad. They did the same thing. I don't know if you remember with the social media company called Gab, but there's an alternative to Twitter. It was getting really, really popular because they allowed free speech. And then they had the deep state created some kind of false flag attack where there was a shooter and he was anti-Semitic and he killed a bunch of Jewish people in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. And then they just blamed it on the social media network Gab because the guy posted on Gab. And so
these people are absolutely sick. I mean, they're so mentally twisted.
You know, the first lady, Melania Trump, had an interesting response when she was asked about QAnon. She said, if they say anything against children, then I'm against them. That's what her spokesperson said. So that's interesting that they're saying, I don't know anything about QAnon, but if QAnon says anything against children, well, then I'm against QAnon.
Then I'm against
because
them.
The reality is that the Q is a movement to stop human trafficking and stop child sex trafficking. So that was an interesting strategy. But basically the president said, like, people in the Q community, they see what's going on in Portland, Oregon and Chicago with the riots, and they hate what's going on because they love our country. So, you know, then he just says, well, actually, I don't know anything about them. So he's playing both sides and he's protecting himself, because wouldn't it be horrible if there was a big shooting, they pinned it on a QAnon person and they say, look, see, the president supports that crazy conspiracy theory that kills people. Mm-hmm. So this is going to end up, this is coming to a flashpoint. This is something where the president, the vice president, the first lady, the press secretary, they can't play ignorant forever. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to actually say, I support QAnon or I don't support QAnon, or QAnon's real or QAnon's not real. And we're coming to that time. But what's going on right now is the deep state's trying to distract from the Republican National Convention. Right now we have the Republicans are doing a much more successful convention than the Democrats did last week.
Melania Trump's speech last night was literally mesmerizing. I mean, if like between her voice and the way that she speaks, and she's so eloquent, and everything she said was just right on point. And it was lengthy too. It was like 25 minutes.
What's being said at these conventions are resonating. Extraordinary. They're resonating with regular people. In fact, the Republican convention features a lot of regular people, people who have been to jail, people who have a new lease on life, people who are workers in different industries. Regular people are the stars, and the whole vibe of the Republican National Convention is hope, opportunity, positivity, love of country. And the theme of the Democratic National Convention was like doom and gloom, and everything is going to be horrible if you don't vote for us. So it's a completely different vibe. And the deep state doesn't want the American people to start making this shift to hope and positivity. They want to keep them in that fear-based vibration of be afraid of COVID, be afraid of the rioters, be afraid of your business being shut down, stay in fear. Because
put your mask on and shut up.
Put your mask on, shut up, yeah.
Yeah,
Sean,
exactly.
Do you think there's going to be a point, even though where the administration has to acknowledge yes or no, whether they acknowledge Q or not, is there going to be a point that we see where Q actually rears the collective or the individual or whatever rears their head, which is to be shown? Or is it going to be something that's always just going to be very underground and it'll be kind of cryptic messages that we're getting throughout now?
I really have no idea how it's all going to turn out, but I will say that something Q has control over is proofs. So Q, at any time, if Q is actually connected to the executive branch and Trump, then Q can release information to prove that at any time Q wants to. And so that would certainly make the people following Q really stand up at attention. You know, for example, when Q said, well, John McCain's going to be in the news on this date, and then John McCain died on that date, that that made people stand up and pay attention. And then it turned out that the very minute that it was posted was the exact minute that John McCain was declared dead. So that's an example, but that's even more cryptic than what's possible. It's possible that that QAnon could easily provide a 100% proof that they're connected with Trump. And so then, you know, everyone would have to focus on that, that proof. And that's
what
hello,
the president and the people who are being asked could point to and say, well, if QAnon's fake, how did he do this? How did he know this? So the ball is in our court because we have so much control over when this narrative gets shared and when, you know, QAnon has control, President Trump has control about when they go public. And so they're just playing this game. But guess what? We've got really big stuff coming. I mean, the Democrats are going to try their best with these riots, and it is getting dangerous. There are people dying in the streets, and it's scary. But that's just a distraction method from what's going to come out. We're talking about Spygate, Uranium One, Clinton Foundation, Anthony Weiner's laptop. We've got
how many
things.
How close do you think we are to that, Sean?
I think, you know, it's before the election. That's my opinion.
That's all, yeah.
Do you think it's all going to come out at one time, or it's going to be like the frazzle drip, the Uranium One, then the Spygate? Is it going to come out one by one by one, or it's just going to be one flood of, you know,
good
go
question.
Here?
I believe that both sides purposefully drip things and try to time things in the news cycle. And so what's happening right now in Wisconsin with the riots is timed perfectly for the Republican National Convention to distract from that and to bring that high vibration positivity down to that fear level. And so what I believe the storm is, when QAnon talks about the storm, I believe it is these precision timing disclosures where, like, September 1st, this happens. September 2nd, this is released. September 3rd, this is released. September 4th. And it's just one thing after another. And then the deep state only has one thing up their sleeves, which is more rioting. That's all they got. And then people are becoming numb to it. And the National Guard gets called and they put an end to it. And so, you know, what the deep state has on us or on the white hats is really lame stuff. We're talking about when the Attorney General of New York said the NRA is corrupt and we have proof. And then, like, it's like, okay, who cares? No big deal. They're just going to move from New York to Texas, and like nobody is paying attention. Or when they arrested Steve Bannon, who was a part of the Trump campaign, and they said he was corrupt. It's like, guys, you're grasping. Like, Donald Trump hasn't been associated with Bannon for years now. Like, that's all you've got, and we've got everything on them. So I expect September, October,
that's
going
when
to be
that's
two
when
of the most historic months in American history, and we're just going to be right. Wait till after the RNC and just see what both sides are going to try to do to clog the news cycle.
Wow. Do you think the video with Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Uma Ahmadine, do you think that will surface? Not right now, it's on the dark web, but do you think that will surface somewhere where it's going to be in the forefront, that, I mean, even as horrible and graphic, and you probably be, you know, seriously, you know, won't be able to sleep for a long time afterwards. But do you think something of that magnitude will surface to the public?
Well, Q has given us a few hints. You know, Q has mentioned that video and said impossible to defend. And so that makes it seem like it's going to come out, but it might just come out in the process of like a court case. And then that means that the public wouldn't have access to it. Mm-hmm. And then Q has said, the choice to know will be yours. The end won't be for everyone. So to me, that means that there are going to be some proof of despicable, repugnant, repulsive types of crimes, and that we have that the access to it. If we want to look, we can see. And so to me, you know, I don't really know how it's going to turn out, but I don't need to see it. You know, that's me. I'm one of those people who just, I don't need to see it to believe it. Mm-hmm. It's enough for me if it comes out in a court case and the people in the jury see it.
When Sean, Trump's starting to feel like it's getting that feeling where he's starting to step in, like we've talking about a bit more, and you know, really, really help out with the riots and things like that. Do you see that, number one? Do you feel that's going to speed up more, where a lot more of these states are going to be reaching out for federal support for these riots in the coming days, weeks even? And number two is big news, the Kenosha riots. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, well, that's what's going on right now, is the Democratic, you know, governor of Wisconsin has actually called for federal help, and the National Guard is being deployed. You know, this is Trump's strategy, because Trump's not an authoritarian dictator. He doesn't just go in and step in without the due process that we have established in our country, which is that mayors and governors have authority in their own local municipalities and states. And so he's only supposed to step in, federal government's only supposed to step in the situation of an emergency or when they're asked to. And so there's a strategy to this. It's called, people don't have the will to change unless they're at the precipice. This is something Q has talked about. You actually have to show people how bad it is until they're willing to change. And it's getting to a really scary point in Wisconsin right now, because there are armed citizens who are shooting and killing rioters. And this is something that we haven't really seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's scary, because it could get really big in vigilante justice, and like a lot of Americans could start doing this.
Well, people and are they starting have, they to have, snap.
They have every right to protect their property and their businesses, but it's an ugly road to go down. Once we give up on police and say, well, the police aren't going to do it, we have to do it ourselves, that actually will evolve into civil war if we don't have law and order and stability. So I believe that Trump and the National Guard and the military, before it would come to like a civil war type of situation, then they would declare martial law temporarily and step in and create law and order.
Why do you think there, and I understand the part of like, this is part of the, maybe the negotiate the game or the manipulation game or whatever you want to call it. But to get to the point of where you literally having droves and droves of police officers retiring in masses right now, because they're done. I mean, how are they looking at even rebounding from that? Or how do you see that as even like someone saying, you know, hey, I want to get into the police force now. You know what I mean? Like that new wave of officers that are coming in to serve and protect. How do you see that even as an attractive place to be?
To compound things, they're defunding police.
Yeah, right? You know,
and they're lowering the morale of police officers, because they're asking them to stand down, and they're asking them to not do their jobs, which is to protect people. And now you can see how hesitant police officers will be to use lethal force, because they're afraid that they're going to get sued. They're afraid they're going to be in the news. So I hope that this is going to cause a complete revolution in our law enforcement. If we look at the Trump platform for the next 4 years, he says that he is going to provide money for more law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an opportunity. So if there are people who are unemployed and they want a job, they're going to be able to become a cop. So that's one plan to address what you're talking about. But right now, morale is low for everyone in the country. We're actually having a mental health crisis right now. Suicides are, you know, really high, and people are tired of this psychological torture mm-hmm. with COVID-19 and shutting down the businesses, shutting down the schools, social distancing, putting on the masks, not going out into public, and then just turning on the TV and watching the country burn down. Morale is really, really low for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this RNC convention of positivity, hope, opportunity, showing people the reality of what the next 4 years can be with Donald Trump, it's so important for the deep state to try to bring that energy down with the rioting.
If you get a new wave of police officers, let's say, come in and he starts to give more funding towards, to fund the police departments, and you have people that are coming in to become police officers, I would imagine that a lot of the mental health testing that they did before to evaluate if they'd be good candidates, I mean, that, a lot of that's got to have been thrown out the window at this point, would you think? Wouldn't they have to redesign a lot of those tests based on current events and, you know, to see that, hey, if these people are coming in.
I think they have to retrain.
We are going to remake our country in the next 4 years, because people are not going to want to live in cities anymore. I mean, if you look at what's happening in New York City, they're leaving in droves. Mm-hmm. I heard from Dan Bongino, a conservative commentator, he said that in Florida, the real estate agents are saying that the New Yorkers are just coming down to Florida and they're just buying up everything right now. They're tired of the chaos and the anti-business practices and everything. So I think we're going to see flight away from inner cities, and then Trump is going to declare those inner cities opportunity zones and be able to fund a resurgence of opportunity, of business opportunity and protection and so forth. So I think with Trump, if there's enough funding and there's enough money, then we can have a new wave of patriotic people who want to protect their communities.
How much power do you think the deep state still has with all of the indictments and all the frozen assets on a level of like scale from 1 to 10? How powerful are they still?
According to Q, we already won the war a long time ago, and we're just kind of playing it all out on the public surface, and we are trying to do a controlled demolition of the deep state. And so it's messy to look at, but they just control a couple of institutions now, like the news and a couple of these deep state politicians. But I would say it's not over until it's over.
It's over,
and
yeah.
So, from my own perspective, and I have very limited perspective because I'm just a citizen watching the news and trying to get the intelligence that way. I'm sure the military has a deeper perspective, but according to Q, only 60% of this war is public. The other 40% is like special ops and stuff like that. So there's so much, like literally almost half of the story we're blind to. But from my perspective, with us, the White House controlling the executive branch, controlling the military, controlling the NSA, the fact that there's a new resurgence in America First politicians, the fact that in just 2 months from now, we're going to control the Supreme Court, the lower courts, both houses of Congress. At this moment, maybe the deep state's at like a 4 out of 10. But as soon as the election happens, they're going to be at like a 2 out of 10.
So you still think, as we talk today, that this really is good. Trump's election to use and also the Republican Party's election to lose?
I believe it so firmly that I took my life savings and I put it on a betting website that where they were saying that Donald Trump was going to lose. And so on the gambling website, they give you money if you win, about the underdog. So I put thousands of dollars where my mouth is. And that's how strongly I believe that Donald Trump is going to win. It's just like 2016 when all the news people said, oh, Hillary's going to win. All the polls say Hillary's going to win. And then, like, it was an electoral landslide for Donald Trump. You have to ask taxi cab drivers. That's how you get the reality, because people are the silent majority. They're afraid and ashamed to share their political opinion with others. So when you poll people, you're not getting anything accurate. And so, no, I believe it's going to be a landslide, and that not only is Donald Trump going to win, but new America First candidates are going to win everywhere across the country. And so that's going to be, we're going to have a mandate to create a new America with tons of new laws that benefit the people and protect us from this deep state never getting a hold of us again.
You know, I remember in 2016, and of course all the news media was like, oh, he's never going to win. She's winning, winning, winning. But then it was like, seriously? If you just open your eyes and see how many people were showing up at his rallies.
I mean, that was a true indicator.
It was absolutely undeniable.
It's amazing that pollsters are still able to actually earn a living.
Have a job.
They still have a job. Right there.
If you look at the ratings for the DNC on C-SPAN alone, the RNC had six times, so 600% more watches than the DNC. So that's just from one network. I mean, it's unbelievable. The enthusiasm level is just so much higher on the Republican side.
What do you think is going to happen with the whole mail-in thing, Sean? Do you think they're going to shut that down then, as far as the mail-in ballot?
So, you know, I think this might be one of the Trump traps where Trump says, no mail-in, no mail-in, no mail-in. And so then the deep state's like, yes, we got him. We're going to do mail-in. And then at the last minute, Trump's like, oh, by the way, we already set it up to have blockchain protected mail-in voting. So we can do mail-in. You know, I think he's going to do what he always does, involve the military to protect. And so we've had, there is a patent for blockchain voting that was made over a year ago. And so the last time, the midterms a while back, you know, they figured out what are all the ways that the Democrats tried to steal the election. And then they created, you know, a plan for the next time. And so I believe the polling places are going to be protected by law enforcement and military. And they're already doing it. The military already protecting and counting. Literally, the military is the one counting the votes in certain states already. So that's what I think is going to happen. And I'm not worried at all. There is this theory that that somehow all the votes won't be counted for president, but they will be counted for Pelosi, and then she'll become interim president. But I just don't think that's a likely scenario. I think that if we can't count the votes for the president, we also can't count the votes for any of the other people.
Can you paint that picture again for us? Because I know a couple of people have been asking about that, because we talked about it on a previous show. What would be the event where she could pop? Like, what would it look like for her to even get to the point of being an interim president? Like, what would have to happen?
What would have to happen, I think, would be that the only election that people are having a hard time counting would be the president, but they're not having a hard time counting any of the other elections, like the one Nancy Pelosi is up for office. And then she would only be interim president for a couple of weeks. But I believe that if, I don't believe that would ever happen, but let's say just for as the thought experiment that it did happen. I believe that Donald Trump would just declare martial law, and he would have control again during the interim, because we can't let the deep state have the power of the executive branch. They would just try to undo through executive orders and by launching their own military control, so that's the great thing about the military being under control of the white hats. See, we're under a state of emergency right now already. And so at any moment, Trump can take control over the country from a military perspective. And I believe that's what he would do if Nancy Pelosi would ever, you know, be feared to gain power.
So if that's a possibility where she is feared to gain power, he can then call a state of emergency and basically shut that down. Obviously, he'll get a ton of backlash with that one, but he can call that, and that would block her then.
Yeah, and remember, Q has been painting this picture of the future for a long time. He's been posting since 2017, and he's been posting about a very specific scenario where there are sealed indictments that are unsealed, and there are high-level officials in Washington, D.C. that need to be arrested, and that the military will be deployed because there will be organized riots at the same time. So that's what we're expecting. It's like, this is not some kind of worst case scenario. This is a likely scenario that the military will be involved. When the deep state starts getting arrested, they're going to like pull out all stops they can. They're going to try to riot in every city where they have Antifa and Black Lives Matters operatives. So it's going to be a crazy time. If you think it's crazy right now in Wisconsin, you can only imagine in October or November what it could be like, because they're going to deploy all of their assets.
Sean,
do you think there's going to be a Biden debate, a Trump Biden? Do you think that will happen?
I hope so.
So do I.
I really would love to watch that.
Popcorn. If it was a pay-per-view, I would pay money to see it. Donald Trump just destroy him. I just saw a video of, turns out that Biden pretty much just did the exact same speech at the DNC that he did when he was a vice president at the older DNC. So, you know, he has no creativity, has no ability to be spontaneous without tripping over himself. So if he debates, it only hurts him. So I don't think that the Democrats will take that risk. They say they will, but you know how they say they will? He sent out his wife, Jill Biden, to the news to tell everyone, oh yeah, he will debate. He can do it.
My wife on,
you
know, you.
Like, why don't you just get out of your basement and tell everyone yourself?
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll take the risk. It just hurts them. Unless actually the white hats have way more control than we think. So a lot of times, that's another one of those theories out there. I don't subscribe to it, but it's one of the theories that the white hats have so much control that all of this stuff we're seeing is scripted. That like Biden being the candidate is scripted. Biden's already pled guilty and all this stuff, and that he might do he might be forced by the white hats to do these debates because we actually have control. So that's one of the theories. I don't subscribe to it. I believe that the Democrats will continue to do what they've been doing, which is try to hide Biden.
You know what though, real quick though, Bill de Blasio, there was a clip where, he was caught abusing children and he has these two big nipple rings. They're like,
Bill de Blasio?
Yeah.
Governor Cuomo.
Cuomo, right. And I know they're like two of the same. And they forced him to do the interview in the white shirt. Did you see that?
That's a theory. Yeah. You know,
I saw the interview.
No, I saw the nipple rings. That's proof. I mean, there's video
Governor
evidence.
Cuomo
that
had the
governor of
rings.
New York did a press conference with two large, very large nipple rings protruding from without any undershirt. It was just like a white see-through polo shirt and these big old nipple rings.
No. He didn't forget these. Like they just.
So,
no, they said that he was forced to.
That's the theory from Charlie Freak, that he believes that some of these things are being forced by the white hats, are forcing them to do that. Well, if the white hats were really in control, why not just force him to resign? You know?
Yeah. Like,
so that's where I stand. I think that might've been more like signaling, like look at the Democratic National Convention logo. If you spin it sideways, it's a Baphomet. Mm-hmm. If you look at it front ways, it's D2 and then a picture of America, like death to America. So symbolism is not only their part of their religion, it's part of their communication.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't know what to think about the nipple rings, but I do believe that a lot of the times when, like, there was a speech from the New York mayor, Bill de Blasio, where there was someone standing directly behind him with a huge satanic Baphomet necklace. And so when you were watching on TV, you consciously saw a person talking, but unconsciously you saw that satanic symbol right beside his head for the entire time. And the DNC, when Elizabeth Warren was talking, she was like in a a kindergartner's classroom, and there were the letters BLM, Black Lives Matter, lined up like a B, like you're teaching children like blocks, how to read, right? BLM. Yeah. Yeah. So this kind of subconscious communication is a big part. Remember, the deep state cannot do regular communication because the NSA is able to collect all of it. So they have to actually put out coded communication. And they do that through gematria, through symbolism, you know, through headlines, through numbers. And so it's interesting to when you start picking up on all the codes mm-hmm. that they're communicating to each other.
Sean, I want to get this in here real quick as we get down to the end of the show. The emotional side behind what's happening today in the Q movement and everything like that, because I know you also have support system, if you would, for people that are really just overwhelmed about what's happening today. What on the street are you getting from the people that are reaching out to you? What are they needing help with? You know what I mean? When they talk from the emotional side of it, what kind of things are they saying to you that's really just totally tripping up their head?
You know, people are kind of like you guys. When you start asking me for clarification about what's going on, they're just in a state of confusion. And then people can start to fall victim to some of these deep state misinformation campaigns. Like, oh, is Trump really connected to Epstein? Like, that is so silly, you know. It's like they've been trying this the whole time. You'll see what's going on in the news right now is Donald Trump's niece is writing a tell-all book, and then Donald Trump's sister supposedly said some bad things about him, like, oh, he's a meanie or he's cruel. And then Melania Trump had a confidant, and then she's writing a tell-all book, and supposedly she said bad things about Ivanka, her stepdaughter. You know, this is the best they've got. And so what people are doing, because they're in a state of confusion, they're falling victim to these misinformation campaigns. And what they do is they come to me and my channel to try to get a compass north to figure out what is the truth, what is the reality. Like when you guys ask how much power does the deep state have, if you look at CNN, you would think they're at a 10 out of 10 because cities are burning to the ground.
Exactly.
But if you remember, the most powerful military in the world is under control of the White Hats. It makes you just take a step back and realize just that at any moment Trump's wants, he can deploy the most powerful military in the world. He's choosing not to.
Yeah. Wow. That's Sean Morgan, everybody. Sean, thanks for the update. And remember, Sean, we've been trying to get you over the last couple of episodes, and I want to put it out there again. So anybody that would like to see Sean run for office, you know, send in your inquiries here too. I think it'd be great, man. I think you got a great thing there with both for you. So thank you, brother. Let everybody know. I know they can get a hold of you, QAnonFAQ.com. Where else can they reach out to you?
Well, basically, that's the place where they can get a free book about QAnon. They can also get a free course of 23-minute videos that explains QAnon in detail. And remember, if you want to go just get to the source yourself and learn what QAnon actually posts, just go to qmap.pub and just read all 4,000 posts. I know that sounds like a lot, but they're only a paragraph each, and it'll take you about a day. And that will give you the truth. The mainstream media is just misinformation, but if you go directly to the source, firsthand information, you're going to get the truth.
All right. Thank you, brother. It's always good to have you on. Thanks for the information, Sean, today. And gosh, thank you everybody for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it because we did on this end, most certainly.
Absolutely. Every day. And together we'll turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. Thank you everyone for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.